I was born in Victor, Colorado, which is a gold mining town, in 1916. Now, in those days, there wasn't much law and order. So my father carried a gun and was very dependent on his bottle of whiskey, his tobacco, and his authority. And one day there came to the town in Colorado a young theological student. Name was Richard Beale. If any of you are from the Tucson area, you'll recognize the name. He came to start a church in Victor, and as he went to the shaft where the men came out of the mine, they would curse him, spit on his shoes, as my father did. And one day, my father came home and said, Lenny, that's my mother's name, I've decided to accept Christ as my Savior. And from that time on, no gun, no whiskey, no tobacco. And he was a very strict father, trying to make sure that none of his children followed in his footsteps. Sure. May we have a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the privilege of giving a reason for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in my life. We thank you that in all things Christ can and must be exalted. And I do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, as I said, I was born in Victor, Colorado, and being raised a Christian, my father and mother kept a close eye on me. And, of course, I'm like all boys. I was not a perfect boy. In trouble and out of trouble all the time. And I can remember my brother and I, we'd get some dry leaves, crush them up, put them in a piece of paper, and smoke them. One day I came home and my mother said, what do I smell on you, Robert? I said, nothing. She said, you're lying to me. And so you can see the background in which I was saved. At the age of 12, my folks took me to a revival meeting. And at that meeting, I decided that I had lived for myself long enough. And at 12 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior. At that time, I began to study the Word of God and to pray. And I can truthfully say, from 12 years old and upward, I begin to say, Lord, now, what do you want me to do? What should I do with my life? I graduated from high school in 1934. You know what that was? The Big Depression. They say today the Great Depression. And, of course, there are no jobs. And so that drove me further to pray and to trust the Lord. Now, I want to define, if I can, for you by illustration this morning, prayer, in my view, and faith. You know, the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek, ask, and you shall receive. Come on, seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, I don't know about you, but I do a lot of seeking, a lot of asking. You say, Bob, what do you ask most for in your life? For one thing, wisdom. You know, Solomon said when the Lord appeared to him, Lord, what do you want? What did he say? Wisdom. And James said, the Lord's brother, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And you can receive it without partiality, in abundance. Now, how do you ask when you pray? I'm reminded of the story of Jimmy, who was about 12 years old. His dad had died, and his mother was a housemaid for a very wealthy and rich man. And one day, Mrs. Smith came to Jimmy and said, "Jimmy, I went down to the local bank and I put in a large sum of money for you." As a matter of fact, he said, "I put $250,000 in there." Now, you can go down and draw out any amount you want at any time. At night, Jimmy went home. He said, "Oh, boy. All of the new bike, maybe ride it down to the amusement park." First thing in the morning, he was at the bank. And he said to the teller, "Mr. Smith came and always says, tell us, I know. Listen, go over there and fill out one of those withdrawal slips. Put down the amount you want. Bring it to me, and I'll give it to you." So Jimmy did it. He brought it to the teller, and the teller looked at him, he smiled, and he handed him 25 cents. He got what he asked for, didn't he? Now, when Brian asked me to give my testimony, I said, one thing I want to do is try to influence any young person that's in the place in their life where they're trying to decide what to do with their lives. And so if you'll ask wisdom on the authority of the Word of God, He'll give it to you. Now, you have to have faith too. Two guiding posts in my life has been prayer and faith. Now, if you have faith, it depends on what you have your faith in. You know, faith in faith means nothing. I've asked people, you know, "Do you have, oh yeah, I've got faith." Well, what's your faith in? Folks, if you put your faith in the politicians, you're in trouble. Now, I lived on a lake in Michigan where they had ice fishing. Now, when this question is asked, most generally, it's 50-50 answer. And so I'd like to ask you, would you like to have a lot of faith and fish on 2 inches of water of ice, or just a little faith and fish on 2 feet of ice? Which would you do? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not about to fish on 2 inches of ice. And so, you know, you have to put your faith in the Word of God. What does it say in Romans 12? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith, that's that 2 foot of ice, folks, the Word of God. And when you stand on that, then He's there. Well, at the age of 17, I graduated from high school, trying to decide what to do. And so, after much prayer, I decided to go to Denver Bible Institute to see if the Lord wanted me somewhere in the service, whether to be a missionary, a minister, whatever. I went with an open heart and said, "Lord, what you want me to do, tell me, and I'll try to do my best." And so at the Bible school, because there were no jobs to be found anywhere, then I decided to try to find work in some mission. And outside of Denver, in Adams City, Colorado, there's a little church in which I went to work as a little mission church and to do what I could for the Lord. And as the Lord began to direct my life, in 1934 was my last year in Bible school, and then Jerry and I got married. We moved to California because, you know, after all, that's the Golden State. So we moved to California, where I was from, and the Lord blessed us with 2 children. And then, lo and behold, along came the war. And I was working in a factory on the graveyard shift. Jobs were hard to find. Glad to have a job, raising 2 children. And when the war came along, jobs opened up. And there was advertised in the paper that the Richmond Shipyard, just outside of Oakland where we lived, was hiring day jobs. So I decided, well, as I thought again and prayed about it, maybe that's what I should do, because I can go on a day shift. It's better to raise a family, you know, with a normal working, that is, this kind of a job. So I decided to quit my job at the factory and go to the shipyard. And after all, There was even an article in the paper that if you were in a job war-related, you're less apt to be called into the service. And so much prayer, and again, then that's what I'm going to do. So I went to work in the shipyards, and I worked there about a year, only 1 year, and I met a friend in the church. His name was Al. And Al said, "Bob, you know what? The Lord blessed me exceedingly. Now, you have to understand, when jobs opened up on the California, people went from everywhere to get a job in the shipyards. So the housing business began to boom. And my friend Al was in the housing business. He was sheetrock, painting, and everything. He said, "Bob, why don't you come? You'll be taking care of your family. It's a good opportunity." I said, "Well, Al, you know, I'm in the shipyards. Maybe they won't call me. But if I go with you, I might get God." He said, "Well, let's trust the Lord." I said, "Okay. There again, I'm going to stand on how much ice? How much ice am I going to stand on? 2 feet, not 2 inches." So I joined the shipyard. So I went to the shipyards. And I never forget the big sign over the shipyards and said, "Alabama, you took California by storm. Why don't you go to the war front?" In other words, all these people from Alabama, Kentucky, Louisiana had moved out there. This made this booming business big. So I said, "Okay, Al, I'll join you. I'll take you up on it." And we worked there, I would say, for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And so much business. I said, "Al, we got to hire some more help." He said, "No." He said, "Let's just take care of this." But lo and behold, after a year's time, I got a letter from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. "Mr. Robert Edwards, the United States desires your presence in the service of the United States Air Force, Army, or Marine Corps, at your choice." So I'll never forget that as we rode over to the San Francisco, to the Cow Palace. I don't know if any of you have been to the Cow Palace. That's where we were inducted. I marched up those steps, and big old sergeant was at the top of the steps. He said, "Everybody that wants to go to the Army, to the Air Force, to the left, to the Marine, to the right, to the Army, straight ahead." So I went straight ahead. And to make a long story short, in the examination, your physical, "Edwards, step out of line. The psychologist wants to talk to you." "The psychiatrist wants to talk to me." So he said to me, "Mr. Edwards, who's going to win the war?" I said, "Well," and you know, I have to say this because I said it once before. When I looked at him, he had every inch of being a Jew. Now, I don't want to be offensive, but he had the map of Jerusalem on his face. And I said to him, "You know, you ought to know. Look at all the wars that Abraham was in. Look at all the wars that you have in the Old Testament." And we went on and on and on. So I went through the line, and at the end of the line, they said, "Edward, step out of line and run in place." You know what running in place is. So I did, faster. And then he put a telescope at my heart, and he said, "Put out your hand." And they stamped a big red R. "What does that mean?" He said, "That means you're rejected." I said, "What? What's wrong with me?" "Go to your draft board, and in 6 weeks, they'll tell you." So in 6 weeks, what's wrong with me? You know, maybe in high school, I ran the marathon, the mile. Something must have been wrong with my heart. So I'll never forget, I went down there. "I'm Mr. Edwards. That's my draft board. I'd like to know what's the matter with me." She looked it up, and she held it to me, and she says, "Do you really want to know?" I said, "Sure, that's why I came down here." She says, "You're mentally unbalanced." you know, I went home and told my wife, and she agreed. So being rejected, then I could really branch out and do what I wanted. And the church in Oakland, Railroad Baptist Church, decided to have a service for servicemen. Right across the church was a big abandoned warehouse. And we decided to make a servicemen center out of that and invite the servicemen in for the weekend. And they asked me if I would direct the job, and I said, willingly, yes, I would. I needed the experience. To make a long story short, we did. About 6, 8, 10 cars would come out, leave the Say-So House, and it was called the Say-So. Why was it called the Say-So House? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So they would go down and pick up the servicemen, bring them back to the Say-So House. We would feed them that Saturday afternoon, have the Saturday evening service. They would go to church the next morning. In the afternoon, we'd have a picnic, then they'd go their way. Well, it didn't take long until one of the soldiers fell in love with one of our girls. And they came to me and they said, after a while, what do you think about this, Bob? I said, well, you better get some counseling. You know, don't. I'm only licensed. I'm not an ordained minister, so I'm just licensed. Going. So after a few weeks, they came and said, we decided to be married. Would you marry us? I said, well, that's the pastor's job. No, we don't want the pastor. We want you to marry him. Now, folks, that's my first wedding. And my knees made more noise than those that were being married. But I got through the marriage, and to my knowledge, they're still together. So at this time, the president of the Northern Baptist Theological Seminary came to our church and held a week of meetings. Then I began to pray again, and I began to ask the Lord, what should I do? And I went to Dr. Kohler, and I said, Dr. Kohler, I'm thinking about going to seminary. Is there a possibility? After a little while, we talked. He said, yes, there is. I filled out the application. And on the application, now remember, I have a wife and 2 children. We're in California, and the seminary is in Chicago. And I filled out the application, and the application said, if you want an apartment, make it known. So I did, got back, I was accepted, and I'll never forget, this is during the war, you couldn't buy things, so I bought a trailer, loaded all of my things on this trailer, except the washing machine and the refrigerator, too much. We had a friend in the church who worked for a shipping company. Armin was his name. I said, Armin, you know, I got a little problem. I need to ship my refrigerator and washing machine to Chicago. How shall I do it? Bobby said, there's 2 ways. You can either ship them by household goods or by machinery. What's the difference? He said, machinery is a little cheaper. And having a little Jewish blood in me, I decided that's probably how I'll go. Now, he said, wait a minute. If you ship it by machinery, anything happens to it, they have to replace it. If you ship it household goods, then they just pay you what they think it's worth. Let it go machinery. So after about 2 months, we're looking for our refrigerator. Call the shipping company. We had already received a washing machine. And I went down there, and lo and behold, there it was in the corner. It was damaged, and now they had to replace it. There again, on how much ice? 2 foot of ice. Now, I want to back up a little bit and tell you this. When we drove into Chicago, on a Wednesday afternoon at 3:30, I still remember the time, and I went up to the office at the seminary, and I said, my name is Robert Edwards. Where is my apartment? I made an application, and it said that you would provide one. He looked at it and said, well, you know what? You're about number 92 on the list. I said, what? He said, that's right. More prayer, more faith. I got me a newspaper, and I found me an apartment in Chicago, Illinois, a basement apartment. The windows were about that. The rest was dark. How much is it? He said, $18 a month. I said, you got it. Now, after I gave him the $18, he said to me, oh, by the way, you have to have your own heater. There's no heat down here, and winter's coming. What did I do? Got newspaper again, and I found a heater advertised. I drove over there, and a fellow had everything out on the sidewalk with a heater. And I said, is this for sale? Yes, sir. Are you moving? He said, yes, sir. Now, this was a nicer apartment. Where are you going? He said, well, I don't know, but he said, it's going to be empty because the landlord is saving the apartment. His son is in the army, and he's going to be home pretty soon. Well, where does the landlord live? Upstairs. I went up, knocked on the door, and who do you think came to the door? A man, again, who had the map of Jerusalem on his face. Ah, I said, this is my friend. So after a little while, we talked, and I said, as soon as your son comes home, I'll move out. He agreed, and we moved in. Well, at the end of that year, I said to my wife, honey, this basement apartment, we've got to look for a better place. This is no good. She said, I agree. Let's try. And let's trust the Lord. And no job. I was still living on the money I had. And so I said, well, okay. The next day I got a phone call. Mr. Arnold, the business manager at the seminary, who said I was in the 90 list, he said, Mr. Edwards, would you come in? We want to talk to you. I went in and he said, what's going on? He said, we just bought an apartment building, three-story apartment building in Chicago with 21 two-bedroom apartments. He said they needed to be revamped, painted, and fixed. And we need somebody to head up the job. We see by the application that you used to be in the business. Would you head them up? I said, well, where are we going to get the help? Oh, he said, a lot of students here, they want help. I said, you got me, I got the job, give me the students. And so you see how the Lord blessed. Why did I take a step on 2 feet of ice and say, Lord, I'll go with Al, learn something about painting and drywall, because the Lord was in it all. So after we had gone to seminary, and while I was in seminary, a friend of mine that I had gone to Denver Bible Institute with saw me and said, Bob, there's a little church out there, Oak Forest, Illinois. Now, Oak Forest is a good-sized population, and the big Chicago infirmary was there. That's where all the employees worked. He says, there's a little church out there, and they're looking for a pastor. Maybe you'd like to go out and candidate. I said, I sure would. And so I went out, candidated, they called me. And we had a dear lady in the church, Mrs. Pierce. I'll never forget her. You know how the Catholics have older boys? Well, she was my older woman. I mean, she came and made sure everything was cleaned and dusted. And one day I got a call and she had passed away. And her daughter said to me, Bob, my mother loved you very much. Would you have the funeral? And I said, it'll be hard, but yes, I will. Then she said, and by the way, if it's okay with you, I would like for my pastor to share the funeral with you. I said, that's fine. What's his name? She said, A.W. Tozer. I said, who? Now, here, a seminary student with a little church. And so I got A.W. on the phone, and I said, would you agree to have the funeral with me? He said, yes, I would, Bob. Now, I said, I'd like to have you have the sermon, and I'll read the scripture. And, oh, no, he said, I'll read the scripture, and you're going to have the sermon. That was my first funeral. I had my first wedding. Not hard to dry behind the ears. Now my first funeral in front of A.W. Tozer. Folks, talk about a humbling experience. But the Lord is gracious, isn't he? Well, I graduated from seminary and we went to South Bend, Indiana. I don't, you know, am I running out of time? Pardon? 15 minutes? Okay, I can think I can do that. Ex-preacher ought to do it. But anyway, so there were two opportunities open, a wonderful church in Chicago and a little church in South Bend, Indiana. Now, the church, South Bend, Indiana is 90 miles from Chicago. So I went to the beautiful church, and they didn't want me. So I said, Lord, I guess that little church that meets in the house, I guess that's where I'm going. And so there, Lord, I'm, you know, I want to make sure I'm not on 2 inches of ice. I want to make sure I'm in good setting. So I accepted it. The Lord bless us. And it grew and grew. And we just met in a house. It's a big house. So rich people owned it. And so we had to expand the living room, which became our auditorium, twice to make the room. And so it came time to get serious. Now, we have to have some place to meet to have all these people that are coming. And the one man that owned all the west part of South Bend, his name was Colpert, a Roman Catholic real estate man. He owned everything. So I met with him and I said, Mr. Colpert, would you please sell us just a little place for a church. He said, do you know, I could put 10 houses on that place you want for your church. I said, okay, if you say no, that's it. And I went home next Sunday morning. I said, his name and address is this. Everybody write him, and this is what you tell him. So I got a call the next week. He said to me, Reverend, I'm tired of these phone calls. I want to talk to you. So I went in, and he agreed. And he sold us some land. And I told you, we were a mission church from the First Baptist Church of South Bend, Indiana. And there was an architect in the church. And when he saw our growth, and he heard all about it, and as soon as we, 2 weeks after we had the land, he came and he said, here are the plans for your new church. Now, he didn't ask us or anything, but after all, we're a mission church, so that's okay. And he says, and it was a good-sized church. I think maybe one of you have seen the church. And everything in Indiana has a basement. And first thing you got to have is a basement. So I got on the phone to call all around, how much for this? Now, when we built the church in Indiana, we did it by stages. The basement, and so on and so forth. As the money came in, we built. When we run out of money, we stopped, and so on. So I called several places for the basement, and I mean, we don't have that much money. Finally, there was a man in the area putting in all the sewer lines for all these new homes. I saw his truck out there and decided to call him. And I said, so-and-so, would you give me a price on a basement this size? He says, when do you want me to start? I said, how much is it going to cost me? He said, when do you want me to start? I'm going to do it for nothing. I said, you can't beat the price. And then when he had dug the basement, he said, and by the way, Pastor, when you're ready for the sewer lines, when you're ready for the trenches, just call me. And I said to him, why are you doing this? I don't know you. You don't know me. He said, my grandfather and grandmother were missionaries in China 50 years ago. And he said, I've always wanted to do something for the Lord. And so, with the Lord's grace, we built the church in South Bend. Finally finished it debt-free. And then California kept calling. I was raised in California, and I had an opportunity to candidate in California. Now, 2 inches of ice or 2 foot? What am I going to do? Well, I said, Lord, what's up? And of course, Jerry, she was tired of the snow and the ice in Indiana. So to make a long story short, we accepted the call in Anaheim, California. Now, in California, it's loaded with big apartments. You understand that, don't you? And then we began to have the kids come by the flocks. And the Lord directed us into purchasing 2 old school buses, picking up the kids, because the vans were full, people's personal automobiles were full. So we purchased 2 vans, or school buses, filled them up, brought them in, and then no place for the kids. So now here's my second building program. We got to put up educational unit, 2 stories, 24, 4 apartments and 24 rooms. And so the Lord began to bless again as the kids come in. And I want to say this before I close. One day we had a special meeting after Bible school. And I decided to go with the workers just to go out and invite the kids to see what the ministry was like. And I said to this little fella who had come, I said, you going to come? He said, yeah, I am. I said, you'll be sure and bring your mother and dad with you. He said, Pastor, I'll bring my mom, but I have a new dad every week. What a ministry, isn't it? To pick up kids like that who are living in sin, have no stability in the family or home, but as the Lord sowed the seeds and we saw people saved. And about 2 months ago, I got a call on the phone and he said, you know, Bob, I was in your church in Anaheim, California, sent out of your ministry, and now I'm a pastor. I have a dear friend who's a missionary on the field that came to know the Lord through our ministry. How wonderful it is to know, folks, trust the Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I want to close with 2 verses that have always meant a great deal to me. Way back, after I was first saved and I went to Denver Bible Institute, I took as my verse for that period of time, Psalm 25:4-5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Then later on in life, and the challenges of life came, the second verse that meant a lot to me, or 2 verses, were Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Young people, there's a will of God for your life. Stand on the 2 feet of ice. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. That's your 2 foot. Stand on it. And as you proceed with your life, the Lord will bless you. If in my humble testimony, you'll take your life step by step and let him lead. Don't run ahead. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, my desire this morning, my humble request is that someone this morning may be encouraged to take a deep step of faith to follow your call and to serve you wherever it may be, whether on a mission field, in a Sunday school room, with young people, or wherever, that the name of Jesus Christ might be exalted and the Word of God might be spread. In your precious name we pray. Amen.